Bad Motivators.
Shit, yes.
What's up, guys? Welcome to episode 222, the 2 cubed of the Bad Motivators. I, of course, am Eric Strollers, and with me, per usual, are my two excellent co-hosts, one Mr. Luke Cruiser.
222, hey there.
And one Mr. Dallas Wood.
Hey, the Humpty Dance is a trance, so do the hump. Do me, baby.
You sound so enthusiastic with that cracker rap.
Actually, I have like a cold, so I'm trying to preserve my voice.
Trying to preserve my voice, guys.
Well, it's funny that you say that. Not that, ha-ha, good job, Dallas, you got a cold.
Idiot.
But check this out. First of all, I am glad to see you guys, man. It's always a good time. Guys, we have got some rip-roaring stuff to talk about right here. But real quick, what I want to tell you is there's just been this running gag, okay? That every time I take any vacation, like I plan to stay at home while Amanda's at work, kids are at school, I'm just going to staycation it because I got all this vacation to burn every time. Every time. I'm not being dramatic. Every time over the last 3 years, either the kids are sick, school gets canceled, school gets shut down for 2 weeks because of COVID. You name it, the kids are home. Well, guess what? Taking 3 days off. Today is day one. Amanda comes in and wakes me up at 10 till 7. I didn't even let her say anything. All I said was, which one of them is it? And she said, it's both of them. I'm like, well, isn't that just great? And so Stella has allergies and her throat was bothering her, but it's just from overnight drainage, you know? Now, Henry, admittedly, man, he was having some diarrhea problems. But he, you know, they weren't so sick that they couldn't run around and scream and carry on all day. But here's something interesting I did find out. I came up here and played Xbox most of the day.
Nice.
And they lived. They survived down there. Just
wow.
Fine. So yeah,
child abandoner. So,
there was that's me. All right,
dude, like nothing wrong with that. Little kids are pain in the ass, and if you can get them to stay like relatively not tearing the house apart or lighting it on fire for like a good solid 2 hours, you won. Yeah,
dude, my son's finally got to that age where I can like he can because he loves hanging out down here in the basement. That's where all the fun stuff is. Where his video games are. It's where like he can watch his little kid YouTube shows and everything else. By himself, like you know, like you can tell this is where he's gonna spend a lot of his time.
Yeah,
when he gets older, and it's also be like, make sure I'm knocking before I come down in like about 6 years. Like, oh god,
yeah.
Oh, I'm to that stage. Oh, I knock on the door every single time. Oh my god, because I think a couple times I've been nervous. You know what I mean?
That's one thing you don't want to see. You don't want
no, not at all. I do not. And I've like opened the door, and there's like one arm under the covers, and you're like. I'm not gonna think about that. Damn it. Just shut up.
I should have fucking knocked.
There's this guy, Davey 504, YouTuber. He's a bass player. He's great. I mean, it's very entertaining. But in his opening video, it's like this instrumental bass thing that he wrote. And it shows all these cuts. Well, one of them is he's doing, I don't know, like some random chat thing. Online and it's him under and you see he's got blankets over him and you see his hand going to town underneath of it and then they whip the blanket away and it's he's got his bass under there.
Nice.
playing the bass. Funny. It's pretty good, man. My ex-wife walked in on me one time.
Oh no.
It's like, well, if you'd put out, this wouldn't happen. So there you go.
Yeah. Why are you mad? This is natural.
This seems like a you problem, not a me problem.
Yeah. This is like clinically normal.
You get on board. That's all I'm saying.
Like literally, climb on the USS Eric. Let's get this done.
Yeah. Well, it was in the middle of the day too. I was like working from home. Well, sitting at my desk. I'm like, man,
you're
tense.
Doing some extra work. Overtime.
Tense.
Speaking of older children, my oldest London, he makes me feel flabby because he got his vaccine this week. And, you know, like when I got my vaccine, they like pinched the shoulder, stuck. I hardly felt it. You know what I mean? Like, because I'm flabby. Mm. Oh, apparently they had to shove it in hard because of his muscle. And like the nurse was like, ooh, these muscly boys who play football. And she's like pushing on the plunger and shit. And my son's going, oh, because he's just so solid. I'm sitting there going, oh my God, I'm so flabby. This was not a problem for the nurse when she came.
How old are they allowed to be now?
Oh, in Utah, we're up to 12 to 15 because we've just been killing it, bro.
Yep. That's what we got shaking here, I think.
Yep. We're killing it right now. People are actually getting it for the most part here.
That's good.
Well, speaking of getting stuff.
Hey.
How about some of this?
Nice segue.
Ah, yeah. So it's time for Who Got What. And you know what? I'm going to go first because I actually got some stuff. Are you ready for this? I got the Black Series What's His Face from the show with the thing.
Nice. Nice.
Bad Batch?
No. Dang it. Now I can't even think of his name because I'm trying to be funny. Yes. Mandalorian.
Uh-huh. What's his face?
The bad guy.
Somewhere.
Bad Grief guy? Karga? No, not Grief Karga.
Moff Gideon?
Moff Gideon.
Moff Gideon. Him. Got him.
Nice.
3¾-inch or 6-inch?
6-inch. I'd pre-ordered it at some point and today I got it. But that's not the best news. The best news is this. I put an offer on a house. Got
nice.
It. Finally. So nice. Now, here's the deal. I won't go into super long detail, but just the way it worked out was great. Had to go in above list, but that's just how it goes right now.
That's how it is right now, man.
But that leads me to a thing. And this is just a general thing. I'm not going to mention who it is because I've kind of beat up on him on this show before. But if you... No, somebody's got something like, okay, here's what you don't do. That's just what I'm going to say. Hey, Eric's got some pretty good news to share, but I'll let him tell you. Here's where you went wrong. Number one, even mentioning it, okay? There's no reason to. Zero reason to. What you do is you let the surprise be the fact that I even have news to share. That's how it works. Because who's more surprised? Surprise, guys, I have some news to share. Or, hey, guess what? I know you already know I've got news to share, but blah, blah, blah. So you tell me.
Dallas, you shouldn't have said anything.
I know I shouldn't have. Hey, so guess what I got? I got to hang out with our buddy Rashad.
Completely unrelated.
Completely unrelated.
So anyhow, yeah, that's what you do. That's what you do.
Yeah.
Yeah, so like I was saying, unrelated.
And here's the funny thing, though. I don't want to tell you what it is, he says. But the person that they mentioned this to knew approximately what it was going to be.
Uh-huh.
So.
Oh, I mean, and also I heard the person that was getting the information said, did he put an offer in on the house? And then and then the other person gave like an odd you know, some stuff's going on. Like basically told me anyway, or told that person anyway. Sorry.
Wait, I got a more pressing question than who the hell are we talking about? Cause only about five of us are going to care. But the main question is your house up for sale or have you sold it yet?
Not yet. Nope.
Yeah.
I'm going to get my crap out of here. And then sell this place.
Well, and before, that's for everybody listening, in the pre-show, Eric's like complaining about his neighbors because of the noise that's going on. And I'm like, I was wondering if he had gotten a new house because he just like is extra bitchy
he's going to have senioritis really quick.
Right. He's getting trunky to get out of there.
I do have some terrible news though.
Oh, what's that?
While we're still in who got what I got was some terrible news. 23 years ago, I moved away from my hometown area to St. Louis, leaving all family behind.
Oh, no.
For a reason.
Oh.
I shouldn't say that. I love my family. My sister-in-law is moving
last week
to Alton. No, but she got the job.
No.
She accepted it.
No.
And it turns out she thought she was going to just crash on our couch for a while until she figured it out. It's like we live in a 2-bedroom house. Our kids share a bedroom. We have one bathroom, no buys.
Noah Hayes.
And Amanda's telling me about this, and I'm like, what? Did you tell her she could do this? And so we talked about it. Anyway.
She was going on the assumption it was all good.
Dude, Alton, directly to the town I live in. Not any one of the towns all around, directly to the town I live in. I'm like, how did this happen? Why is she moving 200 miles? And here's what that does. That does several things. Number one, my sister-in-law is going to live here. Yeah. She's going to do the pop-in, which I hate. And she talks too loud, and she's opinionated as hell, which I realize we are too. But
yeah,
I told you the story, right, about this old house, the show. Yeah. Let me tell you about this lady. I love her. And if you hear this, you who will not be mentioned, I love you. Nothing I'm saying would be anything I'd be afraid to tell you right to your face if it rubber met the road. I'm going to sum up her entire personality in this one anecdote. Are you ready?
All right.
Watching this old house. And the one guy, it's not Norm Abrams. He's short, kind of like bulldog. Looking guy, I can't think of the guy's name. Anyway, he's a master carpenter, right?
Okay. Oh yeah, I know who you're talking about. I can't remember the dude's name.
Anyway,
the other dude on
they're doing Bob this Vila. This project, right? You know what she says? Mm-hmm. That's stupid. I don't know why they do it like that when you could just bling 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 bling. And I said,
right. On this old house,
yeah.
She bagging on the dudes on the Bob Vila was the spokesman of Craftsman.
And I said
20 years, the tool company.
How dare you, woman?
Put respect on his name. What I usually like to do is listen to some shade tree rather than somebody who's been doing it for 30 years professionally.
Shade tree.
Does she clown on Bob Ross when she sees him on PBS? Why is he making these trees happy? God damn
I'm
it.
I'm just telling
Make
you.
Those trees sad.
Oh, it's Tom Silva.
That's Tom Silva. It. Yes. I remember that guy.
You're not going to out. But it wasn't just that, that's curious. I wonder why they did that. It was, here's how stupid they are for doing it that way. Okay,
really?
Listen. No. But dude, and the thing is, I know that, that sounds dumb. It's every conversation. I went to the store and here's a list of the stupid people I encountered. At my job, everyone is stupid. It's like she's wearing an I'm with stupid t-shirt everywhere she goes and she has to tell you about the person that it's pointing at.
Damn. She's wearing an I'm with stupid shirt and it's pointing in all directions.
Yes.
Yeah, when it should be pointing up.
Yeah.
Maybe she can like get one like where she's like spinning on the front like...
Yeah, it's like one of those ZZ Top guitars.
Yeah, yes. Exactly.
So that's She's the sad legs. Part, okay? And she came over, and she put an offer in on a house, and she's buying a house too. But I'm going to tell you something, and listen, Pam, if you're listening to this right now.
You've been named now.
Maybe I'll tell you guys this part later. She's never going to hear this. We were talking about it, and Henry goes... After I told them we were getting this new house, and they're like, "Oh my gosh, yay!" blah blah blah. And a little bit later, he goes, "We can tell Aunt Pam we're getting a new house, but don't tell her where it is." He's a savage.
That is savage.
Oh my gosh!
I got an Aunt Pam that I don't like either, so that works out. Well, you might like yours. You may like your sister-in-law.
Dude, I do. I like her a lot.
I completely despise my Aunt Pam. So,
but the more often she visited, the more comfortable she got being negative.
Being herself, yeah.
It's just a lot.
You know, I understand because my sister-in-law... I really like her, but her big personality quirk is when she shows up in town from California, you know, guys, whatever we're going to do, I'm deciding. You can throw out ideas, but if it wasn't my idea, we're not doing it. And like all the siblings kowtow her because she's the oldest.
Yeah.
Like she's the ringleader. And that drives me nuts. kid's nuts because they don't want to do what she wants to do.
I lucked out so much with my in-laws. Like, I love her mom and dad. Like, we get along really well. She only has brothers. And we all get along really well. Like, I grew up in a family of women. I have no problem with women. But it's just like it was, they became like the male like family I never really had, because like most, because like 95% of my family are women. So like it's just kind of, because like my grandparents had 6 daughters, no sons. So like it was just kind of like that, how it goes. So like, but like we all get along really well. We like do goofy shit together, and like it's just like it's a really loose atmosphere all the time. And it, but like I always hear about these stories about nightmare in-laws. So like I was talking to Rachel's mom the other day. I remember when we first met, and after a while hanging out with you and stuff. And I'm like, I was gonna say, I'm so glad I like you. And she was like, she's like saying, Luke, I'm really glad I like you too, because nothing worse than having a son-in-law you don't like. She's like, because you know Rachel's dated some doozies in the past, and I'm glad they're not my son-in-law. I'm like, I know.
Nice. Yeah. Well, did you get anything else, Eric?
No, I think that's it.
just shame and pain.
The roller coaster of emotion.
You gotta send us the website with the pictures of your new house, man. I want to see it.
I'll wait until we're actually in there. There's too much old people stuff. So, because basically what it amounts to is it was a what's the word?
I'm supposed to lay out.
It's the son is selling it. I guess his parent, whoever was left in the house, passed away or whatever. Mm. Hopefully in the house. Dude, that
would be, so you have their ghosts haunting you for the rest of time.
Yeah, but you know, so it's like there's still like old people stuff in it. But the floor plan is killer. There's so much storage space, but the entire basement is ginormous, and the ceilings are high.
It's finished too
in the basement. Fairly finished. Yeah.
Are you gonna put all your shit down in the basement? You're gonna go from the attic to the basement?
Yes.
Fuck yeah, dude.
That's the best, dude. Because the fuck yeah. The temperature controls would be so much better, man.
Oh god, right? Dude.
And at least your wives let you have your shit in your house. I have to have it at work. You know, we're building the new house, right? And speaking of who got what, or in my case, who didn't get what, I didn't get any more walls. Remember when I mentioned like maybe a month ago, I had like 3/4 of like one south wall done. Yeah, I'm still in that position because of lumber costs, and my framers all quit. My contractor's framers all quit. But today they started building walls again, so maybe we'll get some more walls. Jesus, man,
it's a rough time for construction right now. And it really is.
Well, if you want to buy a car, it's rough because you know I mentioned I was meeting with Rashad. That was like, you know, I went down to California to buy cars, so I got to see Claire and Noah and the Kessel Run crew again, and that was fun and everything. But like, I'm having to go when I normally could go to one auction and buy 5 cars. I have to go to 3 auctions to buy 7 cars.
Wow!
And just the prices are nuts.
How is it during something like this that the price of everything goes up?
Well, it's in the case of used car market, it's like 7 things. You've got the chip suppliers aren't making chips to make new cars, which is causing new cars to be behind, which is causing trade-ins not to come in. Mm. And then all of last year, people weren't working, so they weren't buying new cars and trading in their used cars is another reason. Mm. Then you've got the part supply towards new cars, which is also delaying new cars, which is delaying trade-ins. And then you've got the rental companies who didn't rent any cars out last year, so they kept their cars when they normally like change them over and buy new cars and dump the old ones into the market. So those haven't been dumped. And since people weren't leasing, those cars aren't being dumped. And the manufacturers are going, yeah, our new car dealers need used cars. We're just going to sell all our lease trades. So little independents like me can't get anything right now for a decent price. So we have to rely on buying weird stuff that, you know, maybe this guy in California doesn't want, but this guy in Utah wants. You know what I'm saying? So I have to play that game right now. It's tough, but that's the reason, really, is like there's just not a supply to support the demand. We went from having the off switch kind of on most of last year, and now the faucet is completely on. And the other reason, the other two reasons are economics of the country right now. People are now starting to go back to work, and then, you know, they've got their stimulus money, and also they've gotten their tax refund. Mm-hmm. So if you've been driving a beater car for X amount of years, and you've got finally got a down payment to get a car, and you just got a new job that's higher paying, I mean, yeah, it's the perfect storm for supply and demand.
Plus, you were able to not have to worry about your beater car for a whole year, probably, because you weren't driving it that much to go different places.
Exactly. So,
Yeah. Exactly.
And the other thing, too, like, just people are wanting more fuel-efficient vehicles, and they're driving older vehicles that aren't that fuel-efficient, so they're trying to buy these newer used cars that are fuel efficient. And like, really the stuff from 2016 and newer is really what's hard to get. I mean, there's not a lot of the older stuff anyway, but that's where I'm living right now. And it's like, it was fun to see all our friends, but man, it's a lot of work to keep this business running. God, I was on the road for like 4 days last week, so I didn't even get time to go look for Star Wars toys, and I had actually had money to spend on them. there's a big vintage store that also sells new stock that some friends of mine have mentioned, and I've been down to Vegas, like, because I go to California and then I drive over to Vegas and then home to Salt Lake. So for those of you who are listening, it's about 9 hours to Anaheim from Salt Lake City. So it's not a big deal over 3 days to drive home over that amount of time. Anyway, there's this big shop that just has literally, like, I mean, I got my Cad Bane there, some hard to get stuff. They just have it on the shelf for retail. I just don't know what the deal is, because they're clearly not buying up stuff to sell it for retail to gouge people, you know what I mean? So I don't know how they're getting this stuff, but they're getting
they're probably just a wholesaler for Hasbro. Have like a license of, like, you know, like same thing,
the same deal
like Entertainment Earth has or something.
You know, they had a lot of the display stuff from like Walmart and Target that you see like on the Force Fridays and stuff, so I almost wonder if that's true. Like, maybe Hasbro's just like, you know what, the store fell through, here's like some display stuff, here's all the stock. Like, we thought they were going to order more. You know, it could be something like that. That totally makes sense. Could
be a lot of things.
Yeah, but I can't wait to go. Hopefully in a couple of weeks when I go down there, I'll be able to, like, you know, just report back, because I haven't been to a toy store since the pandemic. I obviously, you guys haven't. Eric, when was the last time you went to Saga Toys?
Oof, dude, it has been forever. God,
I hope they're still open, bro.
Oh, they're open.
Okay,
they didn't make a big deal out of it, but they were actually open the entire time, because they also are a UPS center. Like, they're one of those places where people, their packages will get dropped there.
Oh, gotcha.
You know what I mean? Like, if you go and they're not at home, they'll, rather than return it to sender, they take it to these places. They're one of those. So they were deemed, that's what I'm looking for.
A drop-off.
Necessary. Location. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, essential. Yeah, yeah.
Essential. Thank you.
Essential.
Yeah, and so they got to do that. So, I mean, good on them. But yeah, I haven't been in there in forever. I would love to go in there, though.
I'm glad to hear that they're still open.
I mean, like,
mom and pop shops, man, there are some places that went out of business, and I'm just like, God.
Yeah, but they fall under that category of places that might have been done decent during the pandemic, because people were stuck at home looking at collectibles and shit.
True.
and buying stuff.
True. Well, here's what's weird, though. Are you ready for this? Yeah. They don't have an internet presence where you can buy stuff.
Ooh, the worst year to be that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Unless they've changed it up, man, which that is crazy that, you know, 'cause I've asked him several times, and I think that they're just really into the in-person experience.
Well, they're going to be left behind eventually, because they can't do that.
No, you're like, I'm starting delivery with my business. Like, I've started a relationship with a company that if the client doesn't want to come to my shop to test drive the car, they can pay $15 to this company. They'll pick up the car and drive it to their house.
Hmm.
Like, you know, put it on a flatbed, drive it over there, let them test drive it without me. And if they want to buy it, we do everything over email. I'm I'm totally for doing that. It's not how I would want to buy a car, but a lot of people want to that way. And I don't want to miss the boat. So I'm kind of surprised that a business like that wouldn't have an online presence. You would think that'd be the most no-brainer thing ever.
No, yeah. That's actually a good plan, Dallas, because of all the car companies that are offering that service online now.
Well,
to bring the car to you to test drive.
Yeah. Note, the Carvana and Zoom thing is not working. Those business models are cracking in my industry. But this service that I'm using, I'm seeing the numbers. They, like, last year alone, they just, yeah. It honestly, dude, like, it was a no-brainer for me. And it doesn't cost me any money.
Not to mention it's not your business model. It's just an additional service you offer.
Yeah, so and what they can do is contact. I got a link on the website on every ad, and then they have a website that they advertise my cars to people because they're just trying to make their money off transporting it for test drives.
Yeah,
and I don't know how they make money at 15, but this is a 25-mile radius. That's not a lot of fuel.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So maybe that's
for volume.
The good news is that now we can talk about anything because nobody's still listening. After my whole,
we lost them.
Here's my whole thing about my sister-in-law and everything else.
Well, and we haven't got to my bullshit yet. So I mean, like, I got two things, neither of which are Star Wars.
Okay.
But the first thing I got was I got another semester of school under my belt, and I had to fight one of my teachers for my grade because they were being complete dicks about it. I tried to be a reason with them, going back and forth over this email, and they were just like not hearing it. I had to go to their supervisor, and they're like, "Yeah, he's being a big fucking dick about this. Let me talk to him." and my grade mysteriously went back up after they told me three times it was not going to go up. You did not deserve those points when I did deserve those points. I also got my second COVID shot last Friday, and I had no ill effects from it at all.
Sweet, man.
Yeah.
That's good news.
My wife and I both didn't have any ill effects from it.
She got the
Moderna, and I got the Pfizer, and we both.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool because, you know, I got mine back on the 25th, and I wonder what Bill Gates is thinking about my activities.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I just wonder if he's interested in me going to work every single day and going home every single day.
I saw a pretty excellent TikTok about that, and it was a dude from it was a vet from the military.
I saw that same one, Afghanistan.
He was like, these people think that they're going to be able to put a chip in your arm and track you wherever you go all over the world and worry about how long you were at that Arby's. While I, in Afghanistan, we had all these advanced technologies and trackers and all of our stuff, and we couldn't find each other half the time.
And we spent almost more than any other military on the planet. We still can't find each other.
Almost to the point where we almost mortared one of our own platoons because we weren't sure if it was them. But they're going to follow you wherever you go. And like, it's so funny because that whole tracker device thing, it has to be the biggest troll ever because anybody knows you have a tracker on you at all times.
Yep. And you pay for the privilege.
Yeah.
A lot of money for
and,
it.
Willingly. And not only that, it tells them what you like to look at online, and it tells them what you like to buy, and it tells them what your personality type is.
Yes.
And you happily, tells you everything you search.
Happily and do it.
And a chip in your blood can do none of that.
Well, not to mention, we all use Google for about everything.
Right?
and even things that we don't know that we're using it for, we're using Google's services for, or Amazon services or something.
Dude, they're monitoring your keypad.
The thing is, I don't know if everybody knows this, but Google, like, there was a big thing about Apple, like, I think it was 2012, maybe 2016, like, it was one of those two, I can't remember, I'm getting some dates mixed up, but where they refused to give the government a backdoor to one of their devices.
Yeah, because it was on an FBI. It was an FBI investigation, and they wouldn't let the FBI get into it.
Yeah, they wouldn't let them get into it. But the FBI did get into it because they paid a. They actually sent out basically this thing that was almost like a competition for these hackers to get into it because they needed to get into it, and they found a way, and they basically invented like this key to get them in, and then Apple tried, and then Apple like demanded to know how they did it, and they were like, no, I'm not telling you. anyways, but the thing is, Google happily works with the government. Like there's no like, I don't care how much you use incognito mode or whatever else that you're doing. If you're using Google, if the government wants to know what you were Googling, they gonna know what you Googling.
How do you
know what you like, watched?
They know what
Porn
you're Googling.
Hub.
And then also one of the best things in the world is that people, of course, this is like advanced nerd stuff here, but it's like, man, don't waste your time using the DNS that your internet service provider tells you to use, man. You need to use Google's DNS. It's faster.
Oh,
8.8.8.8.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Now every query you use to go to a URL, Google gets hit first thing. First. You're like, yeah, man, look how fast that was. It's like, hell yeah, it was.
So fast.
They've learned to predict what you're going to type. I heart boobies.
Yeah, enter. I heart boobies.
Speaking of which. P-O-R-N-H-U-B.
Did you get anything else?
No. I
So speaking of boobies, let's talk about video games real quick.
Nice.
So I've been playing. I picked up the Mass Effect Remastered trilogy.
Oh, nice, nice.
And so I had never played it before. And, you know, I'm partway into the first one. And, you know, it takes place in the future. And one thing that you'll notice about the future if you play this game is that underboob is the way of the future.
Of course.
Hello, underboob. Which is honestly one of my favorites. I'll be honest.
Yeah.
Top down cleavage is great, but under boob, there's something about it that just excellent.
It's because it's rarely seen and it's unexpected.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
You know, it's like, whoa, hey.
Now,
did see that coming.
If they're wearing a crop top and you see under boob, I'm not interested.
No.
But because then, you know, it's like the, anyhow. So yeah, man, I've been playing Mass Effect and I know a lot of people have been way into this franchise and, you know, this is my introduction to it. So far, so good.
Yeah,
mechanics of the gameplay is pretty good. The soundtrack's a little repetitive, but
yeah. You get that with that futuristic shit. They're like, we don't know what to do, so synths.
And
lots
of half step.
I absolutely adore Mass Effect. It's one of my. I played all the original three multiple times, and it's. It's one of those games, and why I always thought you would like it is because it has all that repetitive, not repetitive, but like that deep dive into it, like getting into the conversations, finding out little things here and there to complete little tasks and all that, and you know, so you can 100% make sure you go through all the conversations because like there's little tidbits here and there and everywhere, but like the. And what you're getting is an updated fighting mechanic in that remastered version. Because in the very first Mass Effect, that was kind of a problem for me, is like it was kind of wonky in the shooting and the fighting style. And then this new one, they've kind of more matched it to Mass Effect 2 and 3 when they fixed it. So it's kind of all kind of flow into all three now. Yeah.
But yeah. So anybody that's on the fence about getting it, so far it's worth it, man.
Yeah.
So, but I've also been playing another game that I picked
Speaking
up.
Of boobies.
Well, there's some boobies in this too. last week on the Sith list, Randy LaJudice was on and he was talking about this game and I'm like, so I keep hearing it's great. So I picked it up while we were recording and that is Resident Evil 8.
Yeah.
The Village. And man, let me just tell you, it's neat.
It's neat.
It has scared the crap out of me several times. And there's one section where you're at this, I think his name's Bienvenuto's house. Not cool, man. Not cool. It's not for the faint of heart. And there's some like disturbing imagery in there that just...
I think I know what you're talking about, but I won't say it.
Dude, it is out there, man. Yeah. But now just don't worry. I'm still playing Red Dead all the time. Every day I, you know, get a little time in to keep my stupid daily challenge streak going.
Yeah.
And I am working on putting together another Bad Motivators Posse night too. So
yeah,
I have news. I'm going to try and do a PlayStation Bad Motivators Posse at the end of the month. Because cool. I've heard some PlayStation fans are feeling left out. So Dallas is the only motivator that has PlayStation. So I will do that.
And if you don't have Red Dead Online, it is available on Game Pass right now.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that, I saw that, of course, after I already purchased it. Eric, did you see the Patreon subscriber that was asking about that? Okay.
I will reach out because I don't have anything actually scheduled.
No schedules. And I want to say really fast about the Mass Effect remaster. You have to remember, anybody playing it, it's from Xbox 360. And even though it's being remastered, it's not going to be like the cinematics and like the way people's faces look and react and stuff are not going to be the super clean versions you're used to in like the next gen systems or even like last gen. Like sometimes their faces are going to move kind of weird and their eyes are going to look a little wonky. It's just kind of how it goes from that era. It's just like they hadn't quite figured it out yet. So you can shine it up all you want, but those little things are still there. So, you notice that, Eric, like especially like the commander in the very beginning, his eyes are always kind of like shooting up or down weird, strangely at times. Mm-hmm. Like, what the hell are you even doing, man? But it's just one of those things. But it does look very, very pretty for the most part overall, the stuff they've done to it. But yeah, I bought it too, even though I didn't need to because I played it a million times. But I just because I'm a shill for that kind of stuff. And I started playing it a little bit. I have been doing a lot. I've been playing with old Les Gonzalez quite a bit online.
Really?
It's like bro shit, like Call of Duty. But like he and I and some other guys play like almost every night. It's pretty cool.
That's cool.
I call him the crab walker because wherever we go when we're fighting in Call of Duty battles, he's always like crouch walking and moving real slow, hiding behind corners. And I'm like sprinting everywhere.
He's the bass player from Metallica. You're
like not giving a fuck.
What'd you say, Eric?
I said he's the bass player from Metallica.
That's true, yeah.
Speaking of Metallica, I watched a documentary called Why What's Our Drive? It's the Dave Grohl music documentary about like bands getting together in a van.
Uh-huh.
And there was the part where they had Lars Ulrich on there and he's like talking to Dave Grohl's like interviewing Lars Ulrich. And he's like, so how many bands have you been in? He's like, just Metallica. And Dave Grohl's like, wait, what? Like he had no idea.
I thought that was pretty well known. Like nobody else wanted him.
Yeah, it was kind of funny. Like how he was just so shocked. Like, oh, lucky. Well,
he didn't. I mean, it's always been a big long-standing joke that, you know, that Lars Ulrich isn't a good drummer, but like he literally didn't know how to play drums when he first got in the band. So I mean, like it's kind of like,
yeah. they were more or less like new wave British heavy metal fans, like that. Yeah, just kind of said dad, we're gonna do a band.
His dad wanted him to be a tennis star.
Yeah, wasn't his dad like a Danish
tennis Danish, pro? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, Eric, have you seen this documentary?
I have not. No, sir.
You should see it. You would love it. I just finished it. Anybody, if you're a fan of music in any way, it's just so good. They interview so many amazing people.
That's cool, man.
I tweeted it out the other day. I'm like, I was today's years old when I learned Flea was born in Melbourne, Australia. Like, I thought he was an LA guy. You know what I mean? Like Anthony Kiedis and all the other. Uh-huh. Peppers. You know, I had no idea.
He's definitely a California boy now.
Yeah. I mean. Well, also, I didn't know Dave Grohl. Was it Dave Grohl that was born in London? Who was it that was born in London? And they were like, oh, Tony Kanal from No Doubt. Like, he was born in London. Like, I didn't know that. I thought he was just a SoCal guy, Orange County guy.
Well, speaking of music, interesting segue there. Apple announced today that they are adding lossless audio to their streaming. And, you know, that's pretty neat. But
yeah, starting out with 20 million songs and working their way by the end of the year to 65 million songs.
Yeah, they are, it's like CD quality and up. And so for anybody that doesn't know, CD quality is like 16-bit at 44.1 kilohertz. That's the sample rate. And, you know, they'll go up from there. They're like, the Apple's not using FLAC, which is like the real common one that everybody's been using. They've got their own version of it. But it's essentially, it's the same idea. But you're talking about going up super high. Now, they're not going to start out with a ton of songs like this. But one of the things, just FYI to anybody who's into that, I don't know if, because here's the deal. And the reason I bring this up is, number one, we love music. But number two, the streaming services, you know, that's where people are starting to digest their podcasts at. And Spotify, they have a new, like, top shelf subscription tier that has CD quality, lossless audio, but it's not part of their normal premium plan. It's more. Where Apple's is just part of their $10 a month thing.
Yeah, and same with Prime Music.
And
yeah, but all that was extra before.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, but here's the deal. If you're into this sort of thing, you don't plan on coupling your phone to your car via Bluetooth and experiencing the magic. It's not going to be any different. This is, if you're going this route, you have to have like a USB DAC. Which is a digital to analog converter that will act as essentially a headphone amp, but it's USB. It's an audio interface. And that's how you're going to get what you need out of it. Because, you know, a lot of audio interfaces.
The 192, right?
Well, but even sometimes with anything over 16-bit, if you want 24-bit word length, a lot of audio built-in audio interfaces won't do it.
But I mean, like the 16-bit CD quality, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's an improvement over what it was.
Oh, yeah, drastic.
You know what I mean? Like I noticed today, because I have the Amazon and they upgraded me for free. Like, hey, if you want this, upgrade to it for free, like no extra charge, whatever. I was like, sweet. And then I saw that thing from Apple. I'm like, what the fuck, Apple? Okay. I guess somebody's got some news. So Amazon jumped the gun on that. But like, I noticed the difference today when I was listening to music when I was driving.
Oh, me too.
Like, I was surprised. I was like, because I've always kind of like, man, I was always on the fence about paying for the premium service, but I didn't know if I trusted it or not, because like, you know, it's streaming, it's being compressed, like there's some shit going on always, but like, I have to say, I was really surprised that, and then it's gone with Bluetooth and all that other shit. But I have to say that you could definitely really tell the difference. And,
yeah, but people don't realize, man, MP3s, we've become so used to them that they, and I mean, I'll be honest, even as somebody who's way into music, that the MP3 audio format is so handy.
Yeah.
It's tough to argue with, because for the average listener, they can't tell the difference. And, or if they can, the difference doesn't matter to them. And they're small and portable and easy. But I can tell you, man, like from listening to Spotify, everything is compressed. It's very obvious to me.
Oh, and, yeah, me too.
And it still sounds pretty good, but, you know, especially for the price point.
But when I have music I always compare it to a JPEG versus a RAW image file, right? Or even like, or maybe not even a RAW image file, like a TIFF file to a JPEG, right?
Uh-huh.
Like even image of a TIFF, it's got all this data, and you can zoom in really far on it and get as much of the pixel density as you can. You go to a JPEG, you've set that limit to a certain point. If you go beyond that point, it's very clear that quality is not there, and it's tricking your eye to make you think it's there.
Right.
Yeah, you know, it's used in pixel data to like, oh, it's good enough. But if you were to put that on a billboard, oh, you'd tell.
Now, it's funny. Yeah, because people don't realize what that actually entails. But what does that mean for podcasts? Well, mostly nothing. Because most podcasts, even like top shelf ones, are doing 256 megabit per second stereo max, which is honestly a throwaway if it's mostly speech. Mm-hmm. But I mean, there's a lot of successful podcasts. One of our friends is 96 kilobits per second mono. And that's how it's always been. And that's how it'll always be. The file size is nice and compact. And the reason we do stereo is, if anybody notices, I spread our voices across a nice stereo spread. Not super deep, not nothing out of hand. That way, if somebody is listening to mono, you don't completely lose somebody. But yeah. But I only do 128 megabits per second. We're talking. We're not doing a bunch of audio.
Audio nerds.
Well, I'm going to take it to the car world, because that's my world. And I've become kind of an audiophile in cars. I'm very disappointed in cars when their stereos suck. I mean, like, the car could be the most unreliable car on the planet, but if the stereo is amazing, I might want to own it. That's like what my level of audiophile is when it comes to cars. So when you're mentioning Bluetooth, Eric, I will tell you this. I've had an older car that has a Bang, and I think the last part of the company's name is Alufsen. Have you heard of them?
I don't know.
They're like a German. They're a German speaker company. Anyway, when they have Bluetooth, and Prime recently went to this no loss or whatever we're talking about, whatever this is, just like recently in the last week, right, Luke?
Yeah, I got the notification today.
Yeah, so I was in an older Audi that had a Bang stereo in it, and I was Bluetoothing some hip hop over, and it was just, even though I know it's Bluetooth, it was a significant improvement. I mean, even a casual would have noticed just the bass and the richness of the bass, just honestly getting just so much richer. So then I'm like, okay, I want to try this on a CarPlay stereo in a similar car. So a more modern Audi, same stereo. And I got to say, it wasn't far off.
Yeah,
on the USB. So whatever Prime Music is doing, it's pretty close. It's noticeably better. I will give you that.
One thing that's interesting too is that I've been shocked at how many people I know who use Spotify who don't have it set to the highest quality possible.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
You get used to it, man. It's just like everybody gets used to like looking at photos on Twitter. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, oh, this looks so good. Like, no, it doesn't. It looks really bad.
Well, speaking of things that look really bad,
oh,
did you guys watch The Bad Batch this week? Nah, I'm just kidding, man. Before we jump into The Bad Batch, one thing that because it looks great. One thing I did want to mention is that last week we got the shocking news that Celebration has been moved again. And I realize by the time you hear this, it's old news. It's been a week ago today that they announced it. But it's been moved. But not moved further back. It's been moved up. Moved up by 3 months to Memorial Day weekend. Weird. In 2022, which means it is 1 year away. 1 year away. And man, oh man, something about that just, like, I don't know. I realize it's just ultimately a handful of weeks, but my gosh, it seems so much closer.
There's only one holiday in the car business that's the busiest, and it happens to be Memorial Day weekend. I'm going. I'm just super disappointed I can't manage my business for a week because I got to be there during the busiest time.
I have a couple opinions about this. I was already on the fence about going because I'm not really sure where my life's going to be at that point, like with all of my college stuff and seeking future employment stuff and whatever else. And so I'm I'm not, I no longer work at a job that, like, hey, I'm taking off these weeks, this week, to deal with it. You know, I'm not, I no longer have that luxury. I currently don't work, so I could do it if I still wasn't working, but like, it's just, I don't know. It's up in the air, and the way things are going, like, I don't want to just say I'm going to go and then it'd be a shit show for me, but like, or scramble at the last minute. But as of right now, they have a plan for a ton of, restrictions, like the mask policy, of course, and taking your temperature when you go in, which we know how that kind of stuff goes at celebrations. I mean, the security pat downs at Orlando was a fucking joke. To the point where they just let people in. But my main concern is that they're already talking about having the 6-foot policy and, you know, trying to like do social distancing and stuff, which is great. It's a great idea in theory, but the only way they would be able to, the only way they would be able to successfully pull that off is if they limited the number of people that could go to the convention, one, and two, if they have a 6-foot policy in place inside of those panels, like, you'd be lucky if you got into any of them.
Yeah.
Because, right. Because I remember like with Chicago, we end up liking their method for allowing you to basically enter the lottery for panels, because that means you didn't have to wait in line all night and whatever else, and you could plan accordingly and do whatever. But that also means you missed out on panels. I mean, there's some people who didn't get into any panels.
Yeah, and we imagine got into that. One, remember? We only got into one.
Yeah, imagine that if they have to remove like at least a third of the people from those panels.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
like, yeah. And you know what? And it's a year out, so those plans could change. The problem is, celebration takes about a year to plan for. So like it's in our Australian friends are like, well, we're not gonna be able to fucking go. Like, our countries are gonna be locked down by then. Like,
I don't get, like, they're cutting. Australia is a huge Star Wars market. Like, I just don't get this move at all.
The problem with me is it's like, it's less of a big deal for you, Dallas, because California is a lot closer, and
I'm driving.
Exactly. But imagine like you were me or Eric, right? We got to fly out there.
Yeah.
And they said, if you have 100.3 temperature, you can't get in, which you can respect. But imagine you spent all this money and spent all this time planning to go to this thing. And on the way there, like, maybe your kid got some kind of cold or little sickness, non-COVID related, that had a little bit of a fever and like fever inducing thing, you know, your typical con crud stuff. And then you show up, they scan you, you're like 100.5. They're like, sorry, you can't go in. And like, that thing lasts for the whole weekend. You know what I mean?
I think the vaccination cards have got to come into play at some point. Like, I really think that's going to come into play.
But I agree. I think they should. But the problem is we're entering this phase where there's so many what ifs that, and I really badly want to go to Anaheim. I really want to go to California, see all the California friends, get a freaking California burrito. I want to do all that stuff.
Yeah, man. But walking like, fries and pico inside a burrito. Mm.
But like, I don't know, man. Like, and then pushing up even closer is just like it makes it even stranger for me. And
isn't also, that your last semester of school?
No, I'm entering my bachelor's program in the fall.
Yeah,
yeah. So no, it's not my last semester of school. Oh, I mean, like, I got a ways to go.
Oh, it's my wife's last semester. That's
so.
Why I'm
so, but
that.
Like,
sorry,
I'm not your wife, Dallas. I know you get me confused sometimes, but I'm not your wife. But I don't know, man. It's kind of crazy. And I wonder if there's a resurgence like with like the variants and stuff. Like, how quickly they'll go about canceling it again if it happens and whatever. And there's already people like saying, hey, I fucking plan to go there in the date you originally planned for, and that's when I could go. And now that you change this date, I have to cancel all these plans, all the stuff I made, because I can't go that anymore. Like, why would you change it like this?
Like,
we've known it was that date for what, 8 months now, something like that.
10.
Yeah. And 10. It's just
like almost a year.
Yeah. And I don't know, man. I'm just, the whole thing makes me nervous.
Yeah, it's curious to be sure. I don't, like, it won't affect whether or not I can go, but yeah, there are a lot of things, a lot of factors in there that some of those policies will be very hard to enforce, especially in a setting like that. But yeah, also, as much as it sucks, man, and listen, trust me, I have been not shy about where I stand with all of this and my abundance of caution, right? But for reals, we already have people who are like just sick of it all.
Yeah.
You add another year to this, and they're going to be like, dude, you can't get anybody around here to wear a mask for anything.
Oh, hell no.
I mean, you'll go to Target and they still expect you to, and most people will. Oh, there's my asshole neighbor home. Yep, we hear you.
Good thing you're moving.
God.
It's weird, man. Like, it's a lot of stuff going happen, but you're like, you're right though. It's they say there's a mask policy, but then also there was 70,000 people at Chicago, right?
Uh-huh.
Like, try enforcing that policy throughout the day with people who are like tired of wearing their mask all day, and they just start slowly, starts people just taking them off, wearing them on their chin. Not to mention, one of the things in that policy was that if you are wearing a cosplay, you cannot have a cosplay that obstructs the view of you showcasing that you're wearing your mask.
What? So
that means anybody in the 501, like 95% of the 501st, won't be able to wear their helmets. It's like,
maybe, because you can't have like the bottom of a mask hanging down on your collarbone.
What's what I'm saying. Like, they're not going to be able to, like, maybe there'll be special concessions made for the 501st or whatever else, which will piss off a lot of other people who just go there dressing up, or you know what I mean? Like, there's a whole lot of potential piss offery there.
Well, so that's why I think the vaccine is going to play a role, because the CDC recently said, if you're vaccinated and the other person's vaccinated, you're outside, there's no reason for a mask, or you're inside, there's no reason. Didn't they even say if you're vaccinated, you're good?
Yeah, for the most part. But I have a feeling that there's a lot of people that I know who are just like, I'm not getting a vaccine. Like, why not?
That's
like,
what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. You're gonna. But have I'm to bring saying your card.
Those cards they have are not that hard to forge. So I'm just true. Saying, like, it's that's why I'm saying I don't know how much of effect they're gonna take place, because like, it wouldn't be that hard to make get a duplicate of that thing. It just wouldn't. All it would take is a little index sheet. 110 pound index sheet, a label maker, and you could have yourself a pass. I'm just saying.
Fair enough.
You know, like, if you're dead set about not getting a vaccine because you don't want to be tracked by Bill Gates anymore, then that's what you're going to have to do. So I'm just saying, there's too many variables, and it's not that I'm not even worried about COVID in this situation. That's not my concern. Like, I can keep myself safe. I'm not worried about that. It's just all of the precautions, if they keep them. That's my problem, because it's going to, one, if they're successfully taking everybody's temperature when they go in and patting them down and checking their tickets and everything else, like, it already takes forever to get into these places.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. But I'm sorry. I'll shut up.
I just think it'll change. sooner than later.
It probably will. It's just that it takes a year to plan, and we're a year out.
Okay.
Yeah.
There we go. Mm-hmm. Now we got it.
There she is.
So, all right. Well, one of the things that'll undoubtedly be talked about at Celebration, I bet, would be Bad Batch. I don't know that we're getting a second season of it, but we had a new episode of it this week. And also in the meanwhile, Kevin Kiner, composer extraordinaire, tweeting about crying, working on a cue for the very last episode of the season. Mm-hmm. Stop it.
Stop. Yeah, shut up.
Listen, sir, if you want to spoil it for everybody, how about you and Rashad go hang out at the gun range and you can spend all day tweeting about how emotional it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He won't tell anybody about it at all.
Yeah.
That guy
He's going to let Disney tell us.
Rashad is a steel trap.
So, yeah. But anyhow, for people that don't know, Rashad is Araj's doppelganger.
Yeah.
He totally is.
Yeah. I mean, they look nothing alike. He's got some
awesome Jesus hair right now, though.
Their names remind people of other people. Rashad does have some really great hair going on.
Yeah. They look nothing alike. And they are different ethnicities. But because we are white idiots, Araj and Rashad just are too close together. I've caught myself too many times.
Like, Araj is the Axe body spray to Rashad's Old Spice.
I'm not sure how Araj is going to feel about that.
I don't know. I'm kind of treading in dangerous waters with that.
I'm just going to tell you Araj. Right now, if I had to choose between the two, I would rather be Araj than Rashad.
His wife.
Well, his wife's hot. He goes to 1,000 concerts a year. He takes 20 extra vacations on top of that. I mean, the dude's doing something right. And not that Rashad doesn't have a great life too, but, you know. But anyhow.
Rashad does get to go to France to Cannes and shit.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's cool.
I don't know if he still does, but I mean, he did.
Not anymore, he doesn't. Not with his new job.
Not with the new gig.
Yeah,
but he's still not married to Lorena.
That's true.
So that is a heavy weight to try to balance on a scale right there.
Well, mm-hmm. I mean, with Lorena comes Naboo, though.
I mean, it's a sacrifice you got to make.
I would think so.
Yeah.
But I don't know how Eric feels about that.
Oh, dude, I think Naboo is one of the greatest things of our generation.
You're
for you guys that don't know, man, you should definitely check out any episode of the Sith List that has Naboo, which is unfortunately most of which is fortunately most of them. It's pretty great. It is definitely something
special.
It is
the best game show ever devised. It's
right.
It's the most one that keeps you guessing, because even when you have the answer, you don't have the answer. And it keeps you on your toes.
Totally fair and not predictable.
Yeah. They're very non-biased researched questions with non-biased answers.
Right.
So I mean, what more could you ask for?
Now, back to the Bad Batch.
I'm sure he has one about Bad Batch come up eventually.
Oh, God.
Now, we all have seen the Bad Batch. We all know that they are a batch of bad clones, but that's how it would start. But anyway, what did we think about this episode?
Omega, sir.
Now, here's the deal. As always, we're operating under the assumption that you've seen it. So not only are we not going to hold back on talking about any aspect of it from a spoiler point of view, we're also not going to describe the show beat by beat, because you've seen it and we've seen it. But what did you guys think of this episode?
I really liked it, because I was kind of wondering how Omega would like integrate herself into this one. And it was kind of awesome to see how the Empire was moving that bridge between the clones and recruits. And they introduced that officer. I don't remember his name, but that was cool. The whole thing with Tarkin, like, you know, him saying, like, giving him congratulations for coming up with the code, the chain code system, you know, like the, like just kind of behind the scenes stuff. As a Star Wars fan watching the movies, you're always like, I wonder how this all kind of played out. And we're kind of getting to see like the minutia of the after Order 66 kind of stuff. Cause personally, I've kind of wondered this stuff. So it's kind of neat to get it, even though you could think it was boring, but I mean, for me, a hardcore fan, I'm enjoying the fuck out of it.
Yeah, I agree. I like it a lot too. And all that, all those little behind the scenes and like them trying to figure out what the clones would do compared to like loyalty wise.
Yeah. Yeah. On that, real quick,
free willed stormtrooper will.
Yeah. On that real quick, the moment where the recruits wouldn't kill those people and what's his name?
Crosshair.
He's like, let's finish the job. Cause like the chip's telling him to go like full rage empire. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that was a neat little like scene we got. I was not expecting a scene like that.
I've enjoyed Crosshair as basically the T-1000 Terminator.
Yes, more so
than I did in previous versions of him, where he's just kind of like a annoying little bitch in the background and complaining about
creepy
shit. And he's not really a little bitch, you know what I mean? He just kind of like he's just always snide, but now he's snide with malice, and it's good. But yeah, they definitely chose the right clone to play that role. I think it helps the show because overall he's probably the one people are least attached to, as far as like the personalities they like of the other clones and stuff. And but he has a skill that serves really well as a like basically the like a Raphael to Tracker to what's
Tech,
his name?
Tech is the Donatello.
Yeah, and I'm not getting to that, but what I'm asking, what's the leader's name? Hunter. Stryker is like basically Raphael to Hunter's Leonardo. And like, but it's like if Raphael went evil, this is how you imagined it would go.
And
the brothers would probably definitely side with Leonardo because like they're not going to be bad. You know what I mean? The other two brothers.
And Wrecker's obviously Michelangelo.
Yeah, very, very, quite obvious. It's all pretty obvious. It's been really cool to see that the split dynamic, and I really like the stuff with Omega and Hunter. I think it's very compelling.
I loved all of that.
And I love seeing Omega coming to her own, and she's so Rey. I don't know how else to describe it. Like she's a clone
Rey.
She is so Rey without the Force, hopefully. But the whole scene with her and the dragon under the ground is just
With the flashlight.
Yeah, it feels just like the thing with Rey. Like she saw another way out of it instead of killing it.
And in the previous episode with the dirt, it was like Rey touching the water from the Falcon on Octu dripping. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like that was so similar too.
Yeah, it's. I mean, you could have that. You could have those moments with anybody who's only been to one place and only has memories of one place and they go somewhere else. It's like, well, what is, I never know this was possible, you know? But the purity of their spirit and everything else, it's very compelling. There's one thing Star Wars does good. It's making you feel for the kids involved in the thing.
Absolutely.
Because you don't see a whole lot of them you know, like there's like obviously the Padawans and stuff in the prequels, but like you don't really see them except for Anakin. But like,
well, yeah. And the kids on Canto Bight that helped out Rose and.
Yeah, exactly. Kid. Yeah. Broom Boy. But they make you feel for the kids really well. And they really keep the whole spirit of Star Wars alive, which is a child spirit, you know, and they really, and much like with Grogu, without words, they kind of kept that spark alive. And then with Omega, it kind of just, it's like she's our inner child getting to go out and play with these guys. You know what I mean? And like getting to experience the world and everything else. I'm like, whoa, wow, woo. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then coming across circumstances and not knowing how to figure it out. And then coming to a conclusion that ultimately is the best decision. Like, yeah, I don't know. It was, I really enjoyed the episode. It had some crazy, like not super scary, but kind of scary moments. And it had some dark moments, and it was a well-paced episode. And once again, I'm just shocked at how much I like this show, because I thought I wouldn't give a shit about it. So
yeah, same here. Like, I thought I wouldn't care as much as I do, for sure.
What about you, Eric?
I'm the same way. Now, for me, I feel like it's kind of going to have to pick up the pace a little bit, I guess, as far as for the kids. Because like Henry, he watched this, the most recent one with me today, as a matter of fact. And I got to tell you, man, he's just like, oh, he wants more shooting and all of that. And for kids, all of that story element of it can be hard to digest. They're like, well, let's watch Bluey Camp Cretaceous. Netflix.
My kid loves that shit.
Yeah, that's a damn good show.
Do you think it's the lack of sabers?
No.
It's the lack of action.
Yeah, I mean, because even when they go to like Saw's Planet, that's all very heavy stuff.
Mm-hmm. My kids have watched zero of it, so at least your kids have watched it.
And well
this is the problem, and I think it's some of the stuff where the sequel trilogy falls into it as well, is they've realized that most of the people who watch this are adults. So they, while Lucas was always like, except for maybe Revenge of the Sith, was always like, kids are watching this. Like, this is always for 12-year-olds, whatever else. And all these people that came after him will repeat these same words that George Lucas said. But ultimately, they're like, we work for Disney, and therefore we know our demographic, and we care about that. So there, we got to have a compelling story for the adults. So it's like,
not gonna lie, not kind of disappointed, because I'm enjoying the hell out of the show.
I'm not disappointed either. I'm just saying you're getting what happens with my kids, what happens with Eric's kid, was they're like, oh, who fucking cares? You know what I mean? Yeah, like that's what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, I mean, I get it. I understand why they might feel that way. He doesn't hate it, but he also didn't stay riveted to the TV. He was more into Rebels than this.
And Resistance, right? Like my kids love Resistance, and they love Rebels.
But
yeah, my daughter loves Rebels now. But I'm telling you, if my daughter wasn't doing testing for the end of the year, she'd be into this. Like, because she's always looking for Star Wars to watch with me. So I think she would enjoy this.
I'm glad that, you know, I do like Omega a lot. I think I find her incredibly endearing, and I like Wrecker. I think it was cute, the setting up her own room for her after realizing the realities of, you know, what she's been through and all of this stuff. And as far as like her repeatedly being in harm's way every week, I think that's something that they'll have to figure out as far as like, where's the payoff? Can that just keep happening over and over again? I like her resolve and her fortitude and her ability to like think through a situation rather than just look at it like it's black and white, you know, with the whole,
well,
that creature that eats energy and figuring out that it would want the flashlight and she could get the capacitor.
It's funny you say that, because people have been saying, what's her power? What's her specialty? Because all the Bad Batch has a specialty. And I wonder if it's strategy and problem solving.
I suspect that her defect, if you will, her specialty is going to be that she is the culmination of all of them.
I can see that.
Because, you know, she shot Crosshair's rifle out of his hands the very first time she ever used a blaster.
That is true.
Allegedly. Just all those things. And I suspect that's what we'll see.
I feel like they kind of alluded to something like that whenever they were talking with the... the people on Camino, like the natives who are the cloners,
the Caminoans,
Caminoans. They were saying something about the experiments needed, and something about only needing the blood of one of them. And I don't know if that means they just need the blood of any of those clones, or if they were alluding to they only needed the blood from her.
Right. Yeah. I wasn't sure if they meant from one of them or from the one of them.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I couldn't tell what they actually meant.
Me either.
But I do wonder, like, so with cloning, you have your original genetic donation
of Django.
And then, but it degrades over time. And so does that mean every generation of clone after that is less good or less pure, I guess, than before?
Would have to be.
But with cloning, if it's literally cloning, wouldn't every clone have the identical genetic makeup as the first one? Or is there, you know, obviously other factors that are left to chance?
Maybe some evolution in it.
Yeah. I don't know, man. That's an awfully short period of time.
Yeah, I think it's just degradation of the source. I don't know. But how do you actually get the degradation if you're just copying the same thing over again? But I mean, I guess just like copying like a copy. After a while, the copies just start like if you're photocopying something over and over again,
mm-hmm.
it just slowly starts losing little bits of it here and there until you keep duplicating all of the negative parts, and it keep getting worse over time. I don't know. But I wonder, like, if Omega is a Django clone, right? That's what they're kind of alluding to.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm guessing that means like they had to have like done even further augmentation because she's a girl and she looks different than the other ones. So like, is it like a, like I have to remove some women? Is it women that have, they have Y chromosomes, right? Is that what it is?
No, that's dudes.
That's dudes. So they have X. Is that what it is?
Two X's.
Two X's, yeah. So like they had to do some experimenting there. So I wonder within creating Omega, it's the whole point of her is they're trying to find a way to enrich the source code. You think that's what they're trying to do with all this, or is that too deep for this show?
Well, I mean, I think that there would be something because as far as we know, she's the only female clone.
Yeah.
That we've seen. And yeah, I don't know.
I just didn't know. I just didn't know if they would have like married her DNA with Django's, like married a different DNA with Django's DNA and kind of spliced it together, kind of like they did with Jurassic Park, you know?
That's exactly like, the parallel I was thinking of.
Yeah.
It's when they didn't have enough, so they had to put some frog DNA in there.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, the whole thing's kind of curious but you can't help but just love her. So, I mean, it's, right. And, but like you see the whole thing about continually put her in danger. I mean, they continually put Grogu in danger for 2 years. So, I mean, like they obviously have no problem with doing that.
So, right.
I mean, it keeps you interested. I mean, kid in danger is a good way to keep people engaged in the situation, but you're right. After going through two seasons of that with Grogu, we might be kind of like, okay, all right, are they going to do something else here? Because it's already teetering on an edge with some people, like, okay, this is just the Mandalorian story again. Okay, we get it. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
Right. Yeah, but what I mean, though, is like, it's got to have some payoff besides just the fact that they did it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, it's got to have some sort of, like, okay, this one went to get the capacitor, put her in danger by going down there after that that part with that dragon, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Versus like with Grogu, you're trying to, every type of danger that he was involved in minus the spiders was directly related to people trying to get him, which makes more sense as opposed to just random. Like,
that's true.
Here, you're little. Go down in this well and see if you can grab this thing.
Yeah.
You know what
when
I mean?
Grogu was in that little, like, maintenance shaft on the Razor Crest. He wasn't that was in great. That much danger. But
yeah, he wasn't in any danger. It was just cute AF.
Right.
He wasn't in danger just of being electrocuted.
Have his little hairs, his little like bean sprout hair go straight up.
That was all low voltage. He is plainly fine.
It's all low voltage, low risk.
Eric would know.
But, well, you know, I mean, I do dig it. I'm glad that we have it. I'm glad it's a thing.
Yeah. At least we have some Star Wars to talk about.
Yeah,
man, Star a little bit of a taste. You know, and by the time this is over, we only have to wait like 5 months for the Book of Boba Fett. So,
roughly, yeah.
Well, we're going to have Loki anytime now.
Oh, I'm excited for Loki. Loki was the show out of all those MCU shows. I was like, that is my jam.
Can't wait for it. It's going to be so good. I already know it's going to be good. Like,
oh, I know it's going to be good too, because the stuff that I was like, what's that going to be? How's that? You know, like WandaVision. I had no idea I'd like that.
Yeah. We've already talked about it before, but it's Tom Hiddleston, right? I always get the Toms mixed up.
Yes.
Tom Hiddleston, as we said before, is a very compelling actor.
And he's not Chansky, Hiddleston.
He plays that character quite excellently, and to his advantage is we already know and have a relationship with them. You know what I mean? It's gonna do is just make us feel like we're already there, and to see him be put into another story, you know, where he's basically doing his quantum leap thing or what the hell he's doing. Which, by the way, I fucking loved that show as a kid.
I loved that too as a kid. Remember when he was handicapped?
I always wanted the device Mac had, the little.
Yes, yes, yes.
It's like you're going here now.
Anyway,
no, it's a good show. So Peyton Reed, the director of the Ant-Man movies and one of the episodes of season 2 of The Mandalorian. Yeah. He tweeted a thing that said, "Welcome to the volume, Quantum Mania," which is the next Ant-Man and Wasp movie. They just have taken the volume up another notch too. It's really crazy what this looks like. He's taken a picture from inside of it, and you're seeing it's like a bubble. It's every dimension is taken care of in it. It's pretty neat, man.
Really?
Can you put it in the chat?
It'd be not the way I'm looking at it right now.
Okay.
I'll tell you right now, those Ant-Man films are some of my favorite MCU films.
Here, I'll throw this tweet in the Twitter chat.
That's fine.
Okay.
But I think Peyton redirected 2 episodes.
Did he?
Didn't he?
He did, yeah.
He did the Frog Lady one. I got mad at him for that. And then I think he did episode 6 or 7 as well. Can't remember. No. Did he do the Luke Skywalker one?
I think he did.
I can't remember, man.
I think he did I was thinking that as you were saying it. I'm like, it's the Luke Skywalker one, right?
Maybe.
Look it up real quick.
Dude, is that the... Wow, that's cool, man.
Yeah, so everybody shut up after he did that episode. They're like, "Oh, never mind. That was awesome."
That's like that volume's completely changing the game. Like it's and with major movies putting their budgets into using the volume or whatever else, all that's going to do is elevate their TV productions. Because they're going to find out new ways to make those processes more economic, because they don't have to worry about the green screen stuff anymore. They just worry about the CGI part of it.
Well, and like they talked about, it makes the CGI faster to produce, which cuts costs because they're not spending as much on labor on hours for the animators.
Yeah, I mean they can literally, they don't have to add the backgrounds. The backgrounds are already there, so they can just kind of work with it, you know.
Yeah, they don't have to do like an animatic or what do they call that?
Animatic.
Animatic. Yeah. They didn't have to do that anymore. Like the shit in the background is there for them already for reference.
Yeah. See, Peyton Reed.
Yeah.
He directed The Passenger.
Yeah, I liked that episode. And even though people didn't like it.
The frog lady, and then why is it? Oh, he directed.
Well, this is interesting. Anyway, regardless.
Mm-hmm.
The second episode he directed, I remember being awesome, and I think it was the Luke Skywalker episode.
Regardless, the volume, it's super rad, man. And just, you know, imagining it, we're just getting into what's possible with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's gonna, like I said, it's gonna change things. Like, I mean, for the better. It's gonna speed everything up.
Well, I'll say this for Disney, taking all of that money they're making just on Disney Plus subscribers, the amount per month that they're keeping because they're doing this right and keeping people hooked on all these shows they're bringing out back to back. At least they're spending a lot of money on these episodes because they're like movies, man. Like the Winter Soldier and the Falcon, I was not expecting that to be good at all. And then like the action sequences where they needed to be movie quality were movie quality.
Mm-hmm.
And just WandaVision CGI was incredible.
It really was really good. That's the thing. So I'm saying with the television series, there's always little parts where you can see little
yeah.
blips here and there. But yeah. I think it's going to improve as major movies use the volume.
Oh yeah, major films using the volume will be incredible. They might be able to cut their cost, you know, and improve the quality. Like that's how efficient that technology is in my mind. And I just wanted to make the point that I'm proud of Disney for not shortchanging us and just making this profitable because they have a lot of subscribers and giving us some just above mediocre content. They're really spending the money to make this look awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's something, man. And, you know, to not only does it look awesome, but what it does for the actors to be able to be in it during. And I just think it's going to be a game changer just for the immersiveness all the way around with the actors and everything.
I could see in a year or two, if they wanted to do a movie where Mark Hamill plays a younger version of himself as a tie-in, like Star Wars story movie, I could see that happening where he's playing like a 40-year-old version of himself at his current age at the time of filming it because this volume technology is that good. I mean, it looked like Return of the Jedi Luke in that episode, in that chapter of Mandalorian. I mean, I could see an entire 2 hours of that Luke Skywalker if they wanted to, and I'd be okay with it.
Well, I think that would be tougher.
Sure, but you're talking movie budget, not TV budget.
Right.
So just think of it in that terms. Like, the volume is so good that the TV budget made a Luke Skywalker believable, a young Luke Skywalker look like Mark Hamill and be believable, even though they hid his face most of it. With a movie budget, they'd be able to afford to do a good 90-minute movie. I mean, I'd take a Star Wars story movie if it was about Luke Skywalker collecting artifacts to find Ahch-To or the temple that he's going to build. I mean, that stuff's all interesting to me, and I think fans would gobble it up.
Well, if it gets to where they can really do that well and have it be super effective, that'd be something. Because, you know, I mean, whilst I loved it in The Mandalorian, he had to stand real still and move his mouth a lot and all of that stuff. Little side note.
I
mean,
I just think if it got to the point where he was voice acting and they had someone just like they did for this, they just have someone doing all the action. Someone else, a stunt double.
Completely unrelated, but hilarious. A certain personality on Twitter who keeps their account locked down pretty hard had a tweet that said, "Introducing BreeCoin, the fake Brie Larson news-based cryptocurrency." Clap, 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 clap. Looking at you, we got this covered.
That's funny.
By the way, it definitely was Peyton Reed did direct episode 16.
Excellent.
And also fun fact, it's got a 9.8 out of 10 on IMDb.
Of course it does.
It's fucking amazing.
Cool. Yeah,
which apparently is getting controversial to say It's getting controversial to say that you like Luke Skywalker that episode. But
I cried when I watched it, so they can, you know, think what they want.
Well, a lot of people think that it takes away from or it gives people who hated The Last Jedi what they wanted. Is what they're.
Oh, it did. People I know in my personal life who hate The Last Jedi,
I like them both. Yeah, exactly. That's what I was going to say. It also gave the people who loved The Last Jedi what they wanted. So hot damn.
Yeah,
there's nothing wrong with wanting to see Luke Skywalker be at his full Jedi powers. There's nothing wrong with that.
Well, and why treat a TV show like you would a movie? You know what I mean? I just feel like they're just like acting like it's a movie. You know what I mean?
But even if it was a movie, it still shouldn't matter. You know,
I was just saying, I want a movie of this.
those characters can, though, those two different versions, the different lifespan of that character can easily be the same person. Like, I don't understand why it's got to be such a far reaching thing. But, anyways, I'm not getting to that. That's another 45 minute discussion that I'm not ready for. So, but yeah, it's okay to like a thing.
That is true. Exactly. That's very accurate.
Yeah.
But, well, everybody, I guess we'll just have to wait for Bad Batch next week, and maybe we'll have something else to talk about.
Oh, I'm sure we will.
When you said, well, everybody, I went, in the club getting tipsy. Yeah,
well, of course, that's what I thought too, man.
Is that who sings that? Is that Chingy? It's not Chingy. Who is that?
Everybody in the club.
I don't know. Somebody look that up. Here's the score.
Is it 2 Chains?
No. Anyways, let's not.
Yeah. Here's the deal. Be sure to check out patreon.com/thebadmotivators. We still haven't decided. Whether or not we're going to start putting all the original episodes up. The early ones, the early days, but we'll see. But
garage days.
If you want them, if you're a $2 patron, you're like, dang, that'd be sweet. Let us know. Okay. Because what you want matters to us. The, the links to our socials are there. You can follow the show on Twitter at @bad_motivators. And then after that, do whatever you want. Check out TeePublic and Redbubble for some super, super dope Bad Motivators merchandise. And hopefully that Taylor Sith t-shirt is back up on, TeePublic.
Oh yeah, totally. Sure it is.
Make it happen. I guess, really, I don't have anything else smart to say except this. Well, sweet man. Hey, I think Taylor Swift is awesome. And until next week, we are out of here.
Goodbye.
Later.
The Bad Motivators.